Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. On November 1st, the first report from the Parliamentary Special Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation was tabled in Dewan Rakyat. The report is titled Transitioning from Pandemic to Endemic COVID-19 Safely and Sustainably. And it had concluded that the country is not yet prepared to fully transition to the phase of living with COVID-19 as an endemic disease. Joining us on the show tonight to discuss the report as well as its recommendations, we have Bandar Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee. He's the chairman of the Parliamentary Special Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation. Kelvin, thank you for being on the show with us tonight. I think maybe we can begin our conversation by you telling us a little bit or introducing us to the Parliamentary Special Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation, particularly for those of us who may not be familiar with this committee. What specifically does this PSC committee do and who's on it, and why is it particularly important to pay attention to the reports it produces?
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me. So basically, the Parliamentary Select Committee for Health, Science and Innovation was one of the reforms that was introduced during the Pakatan Harapan government. And the gist and the spirit of this reform is to ensure that there is greater parliamentary scrutiny, especially when it comes to maximizing the roles of the members of parliament in parliament to scrutinize the different ministries that are, of course, available in the cabinet. So for my committee, we have currently nine members and four new members after the MOU was signed with the Ismail Sabri government. So basically, our role is to give parliamentary oversight and scrutiny to two main ministries, which is the Health Ministry and, of course, the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation. So this, our select committee plays a very, very important role, especially during this pandemic. I think we have set forth a vision or an aim, a target to commend and to recommend, in the sense that to commend good practices by the government. And this is important to build confidence, public confidence on measures that is taken by the government to increase compliance by the public. And of course, to recommend in terms of putting our inputs, our recommendations, and also advice to the government for them to adopt, especially to improve their approach to COVID-19. So I can name a few of our select committee members. Recently, we had an additional four new members, big names. We have the former Minister of Health, Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad. We have the former Minister of Science and Innovation, YB Yobin. We have the former Special Functions Minister, YB from Alor Gajah, Rizwan, and also the former Deputy Health Minister, Dr. Lee Boon Chye. And this is an additional to the existing members from the Member of Parliament from Dungun, the Member of Parliament from Kinabatangan, and of course the Member of Parliament from Baling.
Kelvin, can you help us understand, the kind of expertise that are brought to the table in this committee? You are a medical doctor, but the kind of issues that the select committee dealing with, especially with regard to COVID, deal not just with health matters, right? It's a question of the economy, the trade-offs that need to be made, there are other stakeholders, in fact, all of society. So how does the committee's composition balance all these competing interests that need to be there or in policy formulation?
I think each and every one of us are from, of course, different backgrounds. As I mentioned just now, we have a good list of former ministers and deputy ministers who themselves will add a lot of inputs and also good recommendations in the discussion that we have, especially with the existing stakeholders or the relevant stakeholders. Fact of the matter, one of the member for YB for Alor Gajah was a cabinet under the Perikatan National government, so we can then get insights from him on the movings and mechanism of some of how the decisions were made during that period, especially during the peak of a COVID-19 pandemic. So one of the powers that we have in under the Select Committee, under the Standing Orders of Parliament, is that we have the power to summon experts from the field. I'm talking about public health experts, doctors, economists, NGOs, civil society, media, to hear their views on that matter. So the first report, at least the first focus that we wanted to do was at that period of time, was the big conversations on how do we transition safely from pandemic to endemic COVID-19, because I think that was what everybody was thinking of. So we wanted to find out, especially to get raw granular data from the Ministry of Health, especially, and also MOSTI on the rollout of the vaccines. Are we really ready to not just transition, but once we transition, what happens if there is a surge? What happens if there's an increase? Are we actually ready to deal with such increase? So that is why the focus of the first report, it's on that topic itself.
That's a big focus. It's a big topic to cover, particularly if you're going to look at it from multiple angles and, you know, different scenarios. Can I ask you, so for this report, maybe you can help us understand, in my introduction, I said that the report, concluded that Malaysia is not ready yet to transition to the endemic phase. Can you lay it out for us how you came to that conclusion?
So basically, to really transition safely, I believe there are several health parameters that are very important for us to meet before we are ready to transition. And of course, I'm talking about, for example, incidence of severe cases per population, hospital capacity, ICU capacity, admission of Category 4 and 5 patients into hospitals, and also different other parameters, which are our public health capacity, our FTTIS system, our capacity to contact trace in a certain period of time, which we recommend within 48 hours. All these were taken into considerations before we made a decision whether we can transition safely. Actually, at that period of time, the Minister of Health, the new Minister of Health at that time, YB Kari Jamaluddin, mentioned that the government actually targets to transition into endemic, fully transition to endemic COVID-19 in the month of October of this year.
Right.
But as we can see, even when the report was released, we said that based on the parameter that was produced by the government at that time when they gave us live reports, we said that we are nowhere near reaching those parameters, as I mentioned. One of it, of course, is the vaccination rate, which we are actually quite high. But the reality, there was an untested variable that was added into, which was the waning effects of these vaccines. So because of these waning effects of vaccines, and in certain states, there are different types of vaccines that's being used, and different types of vaccines have different efficacy, especially over time. So then there is a whole new consideration to be taken into whether this group of population is properly protected at that period of time. So based on the parameters that were shown to us, given to us, and we getting advice and inputs even from experts. We have invited few public health experts, include from the EAG or the External Advisory Group, which was appointed under Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. They even shared their opinions on what is important, what we must prepare, including Tan Sri Abu Bakar, Prof. Abu Bakar Sulaiman, Prof. Adiba, we invited Tan Sri Jamila Mahmud as the advisor of the Prime Minister at that time to share her opinion. We have Professor Osmawati. So these are big names in the public health and, of course, medical associate professor, Dr. Farhan. So they're giving their inputs. And from there, based on the data that was provided, we came out with a conclusion that we are not ready to transition. But not just making the conclusion, what is even more important, what we believe the government should focus upon. And that is why we came up with 10 recommendations for the government to focus on.
Before we go into those recommendations, I want to ask you about the debates, because, you know, the COVID-19 is not simply about public health. It is implications for the economy, for education, and so on and so forth, right? So there are in many countries, debates that are centered around political values, you know, the state versus the market in terms of solutions, freedom versus restrictions, you know, whether people should be allowed informed decision making or should there be mandates that, you know, that make it compulsory to do X, Y, and Z. Were those debates present in the committee? And we could just lay out some of the dynamics. What were the real pain points? Where was the discussion fiercest? What were the easy things to come to a consensus over?
Thank you, Sarat, for that question. And this is a very important question. But for our first report, when we talk about transitioning, I think majority of the focus was on the public health measures. So our conclusion was based on public health parameters and public health inputs. That is why currently we are in our second report, where we are doing a more comprehensive review of the whole COVID-19 approach. And this review does not just includes public health. This includes economics views, educationists, and so on. So this is a more, the next report that we're making is a more comprehensive, different multifaceted and multi-stakeholders. But when it comes to our first report, that is actually more on public health consideration and parameters as we transition.
I see. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, Kelvin, but let's come back and touch on some of those recommendations. I'm quite curious to know what it was that the Parliamentary Select Committee recommended to the government about the country's transition to endemic COVID-19. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned to consider this. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're speaking tonight to Bandar Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee. He's the chairperson of the Parliamentary Special Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation, which last month tabled its first report, Transitioning from Pandemic to Endemic COVID-19 Safely and Sustainably. Kelvin, let's talk a little bit about the recommendations. So you said that the report put forth some recommendations to the government to help the to consider as the country looks to transition into a phase where we live with COVID-19 as an endemic disease. What were some of the recommendations? Maybe you can share that with us.
So basically, we put forth 10 main recommendations, but I'm just going to summarize it into 5 main pillars. I think the first pillar is basically, of course, to increase our public health capacity. We want to return to the basic and the fundamentals of public health measures or even infectious disease control, which is, of course, strengthening the find, test, trace, isolate, and, of course, support FTPIS system. Because even in endemic, this whole FTPIS system is not discarded. It's there to make sure that in case there's a surge, we can then have quick interventions, we can then quick contact tracing, and then do the necessaries that is needed. So these public health measures must also come together with an increase of ICU capacity in all hospitals and also a strategy how to come up with modular ICUs and field ICUs, which is, of course, done by the military. And this has to be a quick decision, multi-stakeholders, multi-government strategy that once we hit a certain threshold of cases, then such few hospital or modular ICUs are being set up at fast pace speed to ensure that people get the fastest quality of care. So that's, of course, the first pillar. I think actually the second pillar is the main general. We are saying that we need a full society, full government, full agency, and that health should not be seen as a Ministry of Health problem anymore. It should be seen as a full of government. So we are pushing for a health in all policies approach or spirit. So this is our second main recommendation. I think the third one is importance of improving an integration of technology into the public health measures. And I'm talking about, for example, improving My Sejahtera. You see, My Sejahtera was created. The main importance or the main fundamental purpose of My Sejahtera is not just to check in, but it's contact tracing. The fact of the matter that what happens if you have close contact, My Sejahtera is supposed to give you a notification and tell you what to do next, whether I should go testing, should I do home quarantine, and so on and so forth. So with better integration of technology, and if My Sejahtera can give you that notification and you do that whole process within 24 hours, we can then curb the spread of the disease quickly. And not just contact tracing, but also surveillance and home quarantine monitoring. Because as we move into endemic, we cannot have PKRCs or quarantine centers open in every city anymore. We have to strengthen our home quarantine SOPs, home quarantine monitoring, so that people do not just walk out to the shops and the stuff like that. And also, but of course, it's a tricky, because monitoring also comes with issues of privacy and so on and so forth. But the other issue is also, how do we do what we call virtual CAC, or home virtual home assessment, in the sense that if I am quarantined at home, how do you reduce numbers of bring in dead? That means if I'm having symptoms when I'm at home, who do I report to? So we were pushing for recommendations how to improve the virtual CAC by getting help from the private GPs, especially giving them a certain sum where they would check in into patients with home quarantine. For just a 5-10 minutes call like this, and say, you know, show me your SpO2 today. What is your temperature today? How are you feeling today? And with this kind of better monitoring, we can reduce the numbers of bringing dead, which is the biggest worry for home quarantine purposes. So that's I think the fourth, and of course the fifth is basically, actually it's the main pillars. I kind of explain this. Is it that all? But it has to be integration of technology, coming back to fundamentals, public health measurements, and everything. Oh, sorry, last one. Integration of a vaccination. I'm talking about booster dose and everything into mainstream immunization program. Because we know, and at least from the data that we are seeing right now, there is the efficacy of vaccines actually reduce, wane during time. And then we need to be prepared. The government is prepared to have a continuous vaccination program, even maybe on a yearly basis. So that has to be planned, that has to be budgeted, and that has to be in our thoughts on a long term basis.
Kelvin, in your report, was there a diagnosis of what went wrong over the last year and a half? Because, you know, a lot of what you've mentioned has been mentioned before, that we'd had no end of good ideas, half of which, or maybe more than half, were not implemented. So there's kind of a gap between the input of in terms of ideas and innovations and actual delivery of them. I mean, we still don't have a hybrid parliament. We still don't see the Election Commission, you know, developing anything like creative solutions to, you know, having polls during the pandemic. So there is something blocking government from actually delivering on all these ideas. And do you have a diagnosis of this, this ossification of our delivery system?
The diagnosis of what really went wrong, or at least our weaknesses, will come mainly in our second report, where we are doing this overview or review of the whole country's COVID-19 approach. And I can give you maybe a slight insights. Of course, you are right to say that the fact of the matter, all that I've mentioned has actually been spoken about by experts of the field since last year itself. But then the dilemma or the problem that we have is, how do we bring these ideas to make sure that the government implements them and make sure it's put forth? So that is where the gap has to be filled. So that's where I feel that the Parliamentary Select Committee plays an important role. Of course, we are limited. Parliamentary Select Committee reform, it is good, but then it is not yet perfect per se. We can only table a report, we can meet the minister. The minister himself, YBKJ, has read our report, and then we had a discussion on the report on how he can improve, and he has given his feedback on what he will improve and the steps that he will take moving forward. But then we are not, there is no law to compel the government to adopt 100% of what we recommend. So that is why there has to be continuous monitoring from the committee towards the ministry. And that's why we get the Ministry of Health to come into our committee at least once a month to report on, number one, current COVID-19 status, what is happening, what they're doing, and of course, number two, update status, progress status of our recommendations and so on and so forth.
Kelvin, do you feel like you're making up for lost time? Because there was a period when Parliament was shuttered that PSCs were not allowed to continue on with their work of providing a check and balance, of providing accountability, and to make sure that ministries were working to the best of the public health response. Do you feel like now that you are allowed to work and put table reports like the one that you've just tabled, you're making up for lost time, that perhaps there was a period, a gap, that now you're chasing to look back and to check what went wrong or what happened during that period when Parliament was shuttered?
Oh, definitely, indeed. Fact of the matter, I would like to have this report tabled end of last year, because all this should have been done end of last year before the big surge that we experienced, especially in July and August. If all these measures were taken into account, if all these measures were done properly, we probably face a surge, but then we would not probably at such devastation that we saw, especially at the beginning of this year and the middle of this year. So we are rushing and trying to compensate for the lost time. I said at the beginning of this year that I don't care about the politics of emergency. I said at least, you say if you don't want the parliament to be a show of politics, so I don't care. Just allow the select committees to function from the beginning of the year, and somehow due to the emergency ordinance, we weren't allowed to basically function. I was fighting for to meet since the beginning, but then only after the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong came up with his public letter, only then I called for the first meeting, actually before the emergency was lifted and the speaker actually agreed. But since then, this committee has been meeting the most in comparison to the other committees, because we are really catching up for lost times. All these recommendations should have been done at the beginning of the year.
Kelvin, are there other issues that the committee is going to look at? Because clearly your remit is more than just COVID-19. The COVID-19, I guess, is on everybody's mind. But are there other things that the committee might kind of broach over the next couple of years or the next year or so?
Yep. I think what we are looking at is actually on a short-term basis, COVID will be the main priority. So as I said, we finished one transitioning report. The next report that we are doing now is an overview report. And this overview report is not a fault-finding kind of mission, but it is a mission to get inputs, to be a lesson learned for our government, especially in preparation for future surge or future pandemics that is definitely to come.
Kelvin, can I just jump in there and ask you, in some countries, stakeholders are taking government to court and saying that they have to be accountable for what happened. Their negligence bordering on the criminal, and they're demanding accountability. You say this is not fault-finding, but surely there are people to blame for the inertia, for the foot-dragging, for not implementing ideas that could have saved lives. Isn't that something we as a country need to do? We need to point fingers at those people who are blocking important change.
Of course, but at the end of the day, the purpose of the committee itself is for policy enrichment. We will release with all transparency all our proceedings, all the handset of our conversations. The first report itself was 600 140 pages long. And it's not because our recommendations were long, but it's because in the spirit of transparency and accountability, and again, this is another reform that I'm pushing for our proceedings to be broadcast live, but currently because it's not, I made the decision, you know what? Just publish everything that was said, because we do not want to hide anything. And then people that have an interest should be able to read what right. was discussed and what was said in the meeting itself. So I agree with you. Yes, people need to take responsibility, but at least the focus of our committee is more of policy enrichment. But once that report is released in public, and this is the first report released in public, the public is free to take that report and use it for basis or maybe to hold anybody accountable for criminal negligence or even the deaths of more than 30,000 people in Malaysia.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kelvin Ibadokuchi, MP and head of the PSC on Health, Science and Innovation. They're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off the evening.
Thank you so much for watching and good night.